So much of the stuff that mothers do, that parents do, the stuff of mothering, is not glamorous. It is often not ideal. It is usually not neat and tidy. In fact, it is one of the messiest things that there is. And no one really tells you ahead of time, before you adopt, before you give birth, before you marry into the family, before you say, yes, of course you can stay here, no one really tells you how much it will cost your heart and spirit to never be able to live up to what you might think a mother should be, or to make up for what your mother did or didn't do. Messy. No one tells us that even if you never have children, by choice or otherwise, that the myth of the ideal mother can haunt you and can harm all of us, because it keeps us from seeing and appreciating the very real mamas in this world. Our illusions and clinging to what we think we should be can keep us from connecting with what is. I'll say that one again. Our illusions and clinging to what we think should be can keep us from connecting with what actually is. As my spiritual director will say, if I say, well, such and such should be, she says, how's that working for you, arguing with reality? There is a tendency to compartmentalize our lives, to imagine a clear separation between our personal and our work life, our intellectual pursuits and our emotional well-being, our familial relationships and spirituality, seeking wholeness, healing, or spiritual development isn't separate from the frustrations of potty training or the worry of when a teenager isn't at home. Buddhist teacher Jack Kornfield wrote, "We have only now, only this single eternal moment opening and unfolding before us day and night. To see this truth is to realize that the sacred and secular cannot be divided. Even the most transcendent visions of spirituality must shine through the here and now and be brought to life in how we walk, move, eat, and love one another." We can actually use the very messiness of mothering as an opportunity to encourage and to engage in spiritual practice. Our second Unitarian Universalist principle is affirming justice, equality, and compassion in human relationships. Mothers and mothering, regardless of your gender or parenting status, can be a vast source of opportunities to practice compassion. Imagine you're having a conversation with your mom where she says, once again, that thing that really annoys you. Or in caring for your mother who has dementia, you see the fear or frustration in her eyes about needing to move. Maybe it is past bedtime in your house and the four-year-old is up again. Maybe you're frustrated with the ongoing arguments about homework. Maybe you're exhausted from working two or three jobs and are still not sure how the bills will be paid. Maybe your mother or child has died and the loss is large and overwhelming. Our emotions can sometimes prevent us from experiencing anything else. They can also be a signal that we need something, some kindness, respect, patience, and often compassion. We can get in touch with that raw place within ourselves that is wounded, angry, stubborn, or hurting. We can see in those we love, however frustrating they are, the ways that human beings struggle to find solid ground in a world that is ever shifting, seeking approval and comfort, unsure of how to ask for what we need, and hoping that others might provide it for us. When we pause and recognize how very tenderly human we are, we have a greater chance of experiencing compassion. We might come to see that a spiritual practice isn't only something we do after the carpool, or when we are, or when we aren't craving something, or feeling irritated or lonely, or as Jack Kornfield puts it, after the ecstasy, the laundry. It is possible that right in the midst of the mundane and messy, we can remember our breath, remember our humanness, and connect with compassion, glean a moment of enlightenment and full presence right here and now. When we can remember to see the stuff of daily life as the places where wholeness and holiness abide, we might also come to recognize the strength and courage in so many of the mamas of the world. Chinese chairman Mao Tse-tung once said that women hold up half the sky. And we know that when it comes to carrying the weight of oppression, of poverty, of violence, women and children are bearing far more than half the load. There are currently over 45.2 million refugees worldwide. 80% of those are women and children. Disasters and conflict don't affect everyone the same way. They rearrange existing inequalities. In times of crisis, your race, class, gender, religion, ethnicity, political beliefs, and immigration status all affect your situation, your ability to access aid and protection, your chances of rebuilding your life. Not only do many of the mamas experience great hardships, but they are also often invisible, especially on days like Mother's Day. The Black Lives of UUs has launched a campaign for babies and bailouts, seeking to remove money-based bail and to reunite mamas with their families, because they know, as do so many families in this country, that there are mamas in jail, in detention centers, and mamas who are spending the day working in the fields. Mothers come in so many forms and expressions. Mamas can be transgender, multiracial, differently abled, and as in so many other aspects of life, their mothering will be impacted by these truths. If we believe and behave as though all moms have the same identities and experience, then we miss out on another opportunity to be with the beauty and complexity of what is, as we cling to an illusion of what we think should be. So today, we acknowledge and celebrate the fullness of our relationships with mothering and with mothers, moms and mommies, mama and ma.
Ma.
It's not my part of the world. I'm sorry, I try. Yeah.
The Reverend Dr. James Kubal Komodo wrote that on this Mother's Day, let's hear it for the mothers, all the mothers. Let's hear it for the sleep-deprived, the spit-stained, the yogurt-caked-in-hair mothers who call it a good day when more of the child's breakfast ends up in their child rather than on the floor or in the dog. Let's hear it for the mothers who breastfeed in public, who put the needs of their children above the prudery of passersby, and who can give the stink eye as good as they can get it from the occasional odd sneering face. Let's hear it for the mothers of toddlers who live with the reality, that the difference between the two-year-old and a terrorist is that you can usually negotiate with a terrorist. Let's hear it for the mothers who deal with more different bodily fluids in a week than a typical hazmat team deals with in a year. Let's hear it for the mothers of fearless, rambunctious, risk-taking, though not indestructible children who wish emergency rooms had punch cards so their 10th visit could be free. Let's hear it for the mothers who have been lifelong advocates of feminist values but relent to their daughters' demands to dress up as a pink princess on Halloween for the third year in a row.
Let's hear it for the mothers of teenage girls. Let us pray for their sanity, and let us ignore the silent smirks of grandmothers which seem to say, now it's your turn. Let's hear it for the mothers of teenage boys, mothers whose sons now tower over them, who wonder how their little babies ever became quite so large and gangly, but who also know that these man-children, despite their size and their bravado, are still very tender-hearted and still need their love and guidance and the occasional verbal butt-kicking of a mom. Let's hear it for the mothers of children with mental illness and the mothers of children with chronic or life-threatening diseases and the mothers of children who struggle with substance abuse, who would trade places with their children in an instant, but know they can't, and struggle with the limits of all they cannot do for their children despite all they wish they could. Let's hear it for the mothers who engage in the delicate dance of helping their now grown children raise their own children while practicing admirable restraint in not commenting on the questionable parenting decisions of their adult children and their spouses, and let us forgive them their occasional lapses in restraint. Let's hear it for the mothers who after having cared for their children and grandchildren and even great-grandchildren are wise enough and open-hearted enough, and have enough humility and grace to allow those children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren to care for them, giving them the opportunity to return some small portion of the love they have received. Let's hear it for the mothers who are no longer with us, but whose love, nurture, and care still live within us, and whose memories we will carry in our hearts for all of our days.
Let's hear it for all the mothers who embody motherhood in its myriad of forms. Let's hear it for all of those who have bravely committed themselves to this overly idealized, overly romanticized, overly sanitized, underpaid, underappreciated, soul-stretching, brain-racking, nerve-fraying, hair-graying, impossible to adequately prepare for, impossible to always do well or even adequately task of serving the common good of this world, a better place, having made the world a better place for us all. Thus endeth James Cabal Komodo's words. May we all find ourselves held in the embrace of a love that will not let us go. No matter what our mothers did or did not, no matter what we have done or done not, let us breathe and let us all rest in this love. And resting in this love, may we bring more love to the whole world. Amen. And blessed be.